Well, hello once again. I've got a message for you today that I'm sure is going to cause you to think. Oh, yes. You see, when you go into a church on Sunday morning, you hear the preacher. He brings forth what the Word of God says. Well, in most cases anyway, in most churches as well, but not every church. Now, some pastors or preachers are caught in a sort of a vacuum where they do a Bible study. Every time they get together, they do a Bible study. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Please don't get me wrong. Bible studies are good, but on Sunday morning for the main service, may I say, and I say it with the deepest of respect, may I say, preach the gospel. Yes, because there may be people in your midst, chances are there are people in your midst who are not sure if they're saved or not. Preach the gospel first and foremost. Get these people under conviction, and you'll not do that if you're going to go into the Old Testament way back to near the beginning and teach the laws and stuff like that. People who are freshly in, who are new to the Bible, are not going to pick it up and understand. They're going to be bored, and that's a sad word to use in a church. Bored. No, never should be bored of God's Word. But you've got to understand. You've got to start out as a baby, don't forget. You've got to learn the basics of what God is all about, what Jesus Christ has that church there for. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, shortly after I got saved, I had become a new recruit in the army of God, and it was a very sad time in my life. Wait a minute now. Sad time? No, wait a minute. You say, well, that should be a happy time, shouldn't it? You made a mistake there, didn't you? A happy time filled with great joy. Yeah, that's what you meant to say. Yes. Yes, that's what I meant to say. And it was that. But there was a brief transition period. I mean, I was one of the... Some people, when they come under conviction, it happens overnight. And then there are people when they slowly come under conviction. There's a big difference. And the slow process requires lots of nurturing, lots of attention, lots of easy-to-understand Bible... what the Bible has to say about God, about Jesus Christ. Don't make it complicated. Before I go any further, I just want to say, I've entitled my message, Under Conviction. Under Conviction, and you cannot become under conviction until you understand what conviction is concerning the things of God. Like I said, now that... When I got saved, it was a very rapid transition for me. It was a brief period. For one thing, all my friends thought I had lost my mind. Yeah. Is that him? That's not the guy I know. Where'd the old guy go? Where'd my friend go? What's his name? I don't even know his name now. It might sound funny, but it's true. All my friends thought I'd lost my mind, and as they confronted me so quickly, it was like a giant wave of the sea just sweeping over me. I didn't understand fully that God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell me. I didn't even know that at the time. Now, I knew that salvation was immediate. Once I had repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I guess I thought it would be, well, more gradual. You know, that I'd slowly be introduced to it. Well, see, I got saved late in life. So, you know, I was running out of time. I didn't know it, but, you know, it was now or never type of thing. Either I start repenting or I repent and start believing, then, or else, you know, I might have been left on the sidelines. And you know what that means, don't you? Oh, yeah. Like I said, my salvation was immediate. I thought it would be gradual, you know, but it was instantaneous. There's the word, instantaneous. I suddenly became a new creature in Christ. Suddenly. Now, some of you may not believe it. You may think, well, no, that can't happen. You've got to know more about Christ before you can become in Christ, before you can experience a true salvation. No, that's not true. There are many who become instant Christians simply by coming to the end of self, by repenting and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is the period when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you and fills you with the knowledge that you need. But the knowledge is what takes a little time. It's a never-ending process, the learning process of what God is all about, what the Scriptures have to say. Instantaneous. I suddenly became a new creature in Christ. And right away, for me, things were beginning to change. I didn't want to hang out with the guys anymore. I mean, I still cared for my friends, but I did not want to do the things they were doing anymore. Hanging out on the streets, smoking leftovers and telling dirty jokes, stealing apples from the neighbor's orchard late at night. Somehow it didn't feel right anymore. I didn't understand at the time, but the desire was gone. I was under conviction. Well, later on I would find out the real reason I didn't feel like it anymore. That conviction convicted me. And that was the indwelling force of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that's the title of my message, Under Conviction, Under Conviction. Please stay tuned. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the heart of the matter. Oh, you're going to love this. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, God, please, Lord, give me utterance. Give me wisdom, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I may understand you a little more than I did before. And, Lord God, I thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that gives me direction, that places me under conviction, Lord, and lets me know when I'm straying away from you. Oh, Lord, I pray that those who hear this message, that they will understand what is being said here. It's so important, Lord. So many people out there are claiming to be saved and to be under the banner of salvation, and they're not, Lord, because they're not under conviction. Oh, Lord, I pray for each and every one of them. May this message today, Lord, help them to understand a little more what being under conviction is all about. In Jesus' name I ask, in his holy and precious name. Amen. Now, I want you to understand this. It wasn't some kind of hocus pocus, no, or a lapse of memory or anything like that, no. Although there were times when I had to step back and examine myself, to see if I really was in the faith, if I really was saved, if I really was under conviction. I had to understand that. I had to realize it. And that's where the Holy Spirit helped me. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone who gives their life over to Christ will have the same experience I had. Now, some experiences are different. They're not always the same. But they always have the same ending. Salvation. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what's important. I mean, although there still remains that old cliche, you know, different strokes for different folks. And I'm not saying there are several ways to Christ. No, there isn't. There's only one way, the straight and narrow way. And there's only one Christ, and one salvation, one Savior. Have you got that? One. So, now that we have that matter settled, the issue ahead, well, it's of utmost importance that you hear this. You can't hide from it. You can't dismiss it in any way. No. You can't change it. In fact, you wouldn't want to change it. Oh, God is so good. If you have your King James authorized 1611 Bible, I would ask that you open it. Now, I'm asking this because I want you to see for sure that I am not misquoting Scripture. I want you to see that what I am telling you, I'm getting from the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, which I believe to be the true Word of God. Oh, there's so many translations out there. There's over 400 the last I counted. But there's only one that's really true. There's so many omissions, there's so many alterations. But yet God's word is unchanging according to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. You look at that when you get a chance, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Not right now. I would like you to turn to John, 1 John that is. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 2, okay? Now, if you're a little behind, catch up. It's near the back of the Bible, 1 John. Okay? 1 John chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 23 to begin with. Verse 23. Now these are powerful words. Powerful words that God had John write. Verse 23. Ready? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Have they got that? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. In other words, if you deny Jesus and what he has done for you at the cross, then you cannot come to God the Father. You can't. But if you believe in what Jesus the Son did at the cross, at Calvary, then you have the Father also. You see, it's the Father that draws you to the Son. But he won't draw you unless you believe in what the Son has done for you. Suffered and died and shed his blood for the sin of the whole world at Calvary's cross. You have to believe that before the Father, who looks upon your heart and knows if you are sincere, will draw you to the Son for salvation. That's important. That's very important. Unfortunately, well, there are a lot of people walking around today who believe in God the Father. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Sure, I believe in God. There's got to be a God. Yeah. But they don't even want to hear. They don't even want to hear about God the Son. Jesus Christ, the one who paid for the sin of the whole world. They don't want to hear Jesus' name. Only when they're blaspheming him. Hey, listen. Guess what? They're still lost. They can believe in God the Father all they want, but they're still lost unless they repent and believe in the Son. It's the Son. It's the Son, S-O-N, who suffered and bled and died for the sin of the whole world at Calvary. That's why he came to the sin-cursed earth, for that one purpose, to suffer and bleed and die that we might have remission of our sins. And we can't do that without this being done. Without the Son, there'd be no remission of sins. Well, if you don't believe it, well, you're lost. You're still in your sin. The plain, simple truth is, if you don't want to believe in Christ, then you're on your way to an eternal hell. That's the simple truth of it all. Okay, now look at verse 25. Sweet as can be it is. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Wow. How long is eternal? Well, it's eternal. Look it up in the dictionary. It's forever. Eternal life. Oh. Not here on this sin-cursed earth, but with him in glory. Oh, I so look forward to that day. So look forward. Now look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I love this. I love this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You see, if the world knew him, then it would know us. But it doesn't know us, because it doesn't know Jesus Christ. It doesn't really know God the Father. Or they. Now that we have established our relationship with God the Father and God the Son, it's time to realize the forgiving power that's only a heartbeat away. Only a heartbeat away, that's right. Now let's go to verse 3. 1 John 3, 3. 1 John 3:3, and what we read is also powerful. And every man that hath this hope, what hope is that? The hope of eternal life. Every man that hath this hope in him, in Christ, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 5. Well, I'm so excited about this whole thing. Verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Wow. And in him is no sin, of course. He's the sinless one. But that's why he was manifested, to take away our sins, the sin of the whole world, because he's the only sinless one. You see, in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice, animals. But when Christ came, he became our Savior. He became the one who would go and die, suffer and die for us. Not an animal, not a goat, no, nothing. Jesus Christ, the sinless one. Now, it gets better. Now, hang on there. Verse 6, 1 John chapter 1, or 1 John 3, verse 6. Now this has got to, you've really got to hear. You've got to listen very carefully to this. Okay, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Hold on now. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Ooh. Now, what's the Word of God saying here? Is there a contradiction here? Of course not. The Word of God does not contradict itself. And you know what? When you get saved and you get to know the Word of God, you'll see that it does not contradict. There are places where it might seem like a contradiction, but it's not. The Holy Spirit will help you there. Believe me, He will. He will. Okay. Let's break it down, okay? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You got that? Now, this simply means, now listen carefully, to abide in Christ, to be saved, means we are under the blood. They got that? If we abide in Christ, it means that we are saved, we are under the blood. Now, the blood, the atoning blood of the Son, means our redemption is complete and secure. That's what the blood is all about, but could only be the blood of the sinless one, Jesus Christ. Now, to illustrate, when Christ was on the cross, get the picture? When Christ was on the cross, now just open your mind's eye here for a second. He's on the cross, see him? A battered, bruised body covered in blood, hanging on that cross. But redemptive blood, look at that blood. It's redemptive. If you recall, God the Father brought, when he was on the cross now, God the Father brought 3 hours of darkness upon Calvary. Did you know that? 3 hours of darkness, total blackness. Do you know why? A lot of people don't know why. Or they never pursue it to find out. Why? Because God the Father is so holy, and Christ, being filled totally with the sin of the whole world, that's why he's there, as holy as he is, God could not look even upon his own Son, laden down with our sin. So he brought the darkness upon the land. For that 3 hours, he could not look upon his own Son, burdened with our sin and the sin of the whole world. God is so holy. Until Jesus groaned these final 3 words, "It is finished." It is finished. And the atonement was complete. The Son and the Father could not become united until it was complete. The sin issue had to be dealt with first. Have you got that? Now look at verse 9. Verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Ooh, hey, there's a statement. I got to explain this, don't I? Well, the Bible explains it. It's not hard to understand if you're born again and committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, this is the new birth we're talking about here. This is why Christ took our place on the cross, so we could have communion with God the Father and be assured of eternal life. Oh, dearly beloved, if you are truly saved, the line of communication with God the Father is always opened to you. That's who you pray to. God the Father, in the name of God the Son. You always have a communication with God the Father if you are truly saved. You can come to the throne of grace. You can state your petitions before him. He cares for you. You are his sons and daughters through the redeeming blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's who we are then. When the blood is applied, the sin is denied. Have you got that? When the blood is applied, the sin is denied. Now, it's important here that we are talking about the salvation of the soul, the human soul. and not the weakness of the mind and the looseness of the tongue. Even the most convicted Christian will sometimes, under great duress, say or do something that would fall into the sin category. We all make mistakes. We're still in his old flesh. Although we are technically, because of our salvation, because of the cross, we are technically seated in the heavenlies. We are still in the flesh until he comes to receive us onto himself. We're still in that old flesh. And the flesh, as usual, is weak. It's weak. However, because we are under the blood of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, guess what? God sees only the blood. He sees only the blood. Now, I'm not saying that God, who is omniscient in all things, doesn't know that we are sinning. I'm not saying that, because he does. However, the sins of those who are in Christ are not sins unto death. And I'm talking about the fiery furnaces of hell. They're not sins unto death. In other words, you cannot lose your salvation. Have you got that? If we look at John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, here's what we read. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, this may sound like a contradiction, but it's not. But again, we must understand the blood effect. The blood effect. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, who is our restraining force against sin. When we receive Christ as our blessed Savior and are born again into the family of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then sin hath no more dominion over us. So, the next time you make a mistake and say or do something that's not pleasing to God because of that old flesh you're still in, remember this, it's not of the Spirit, but of the flesh. And until we get our new bodies, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. But you will never, never be lost. Never. It's the flesh that's at enmity with God. It's the flesh that's at enmity with God. Have you not heard the saying, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing? Huh? Of course you have. This is precisely why we will not stand before God in his old flesh, because he can't look upon his old miserable, sinful flesh. When we're taken up to meet him in the air, the Bible says our bodies will be changed like unto his glorious body. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, so wonderful. Okay, hang in there. We're getting close to the end here. I just want to make sure that you understand. Finally, and I've heard it over and over and over again, how do we know if we are truly saved? How do we know if we are truly saved? Well, just stay right where you are in 1 John, okay? Stay right there in 1 John. Now, I suppose at one time or other, most, if not all of us, have doubted our salvation, even just a little bit. Oh, yes. And especially when we seem to carry on with our portions of our regular lifestyle before we get saved, which haunt us right to the end. You know, going and doing this, or maybe going and doing that, or watching this, or watching that. They're there. They're still there. Thank God they're under the blood. Well, the answer really is plain. The answer really is simple, and it's found in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 7:16. Now, you don't have to turn there. Matthew 7:16 plainly states, ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. It's repeated again in verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In other words, not everyone that saith unto you, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. That's Matthew 7:16. Now, in John, 1 John 3:18, the test of belief is given. The test of belief is given. Listen carefully. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Wow. Let me read that one more time. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. D-E-E-D. And in truth, T-R-U-T-H. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I'm going to close here now. In closing, let us turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Now, we have the back up here. Romans 6. You know, Paul did Romans. Priest Romans. Romans 6, 4, 5. Here's Romans 6. Now, under the heading, Believers Dead to Sin. Okay? There we are. Believers Dead to Sin. Let's read several verses. Let's read several verses here. This will encourage you, I'm sure, and we're going to close with this. All right? Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, as were baptized, rather, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's a difference between serving sin and being complicated by sin. Sin is all around us, but we don't serve it. We don't say, okay, I know that's wrong, so I'm going to do it anyway. That's serving sin. No, we don't serve sin. Okay, now let's skip down to verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And verse 14, for sin shall not, you got that? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, so wonderful. I hope that you gotten something from this message today. It's so important. You may have to listen to it over a couple of times to get everything that's in there, all the meat of it, because it's so important that you understand when you're saved, you're saved. You cannot lose that salvation. Yes, the devil will haunt you, but he can't have you. And you will make mistakes, you know, and you will be under the influence of sin while you're in these old bodies. But take heart, dear friend, dear brother, dear sister. In the end, it will all work out as long as you keep the faith and you pray, pray, pray without ceasing. I would ask that you take a good look at my website, tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ, and you'll find lots of good food there to digest. I mean, there are over 260 sermons that God laid on my heart. There's articles giving you information about salvation and what we should and should not do. And there are other things, too, that my testimony, for example, is under resume, right under the heading resume. You'll find my testimony there. Oh, I pray that you will understand. I pray that these words that were spoken here today will find lodging in your hearts and that you just glow from this day forth and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great salvation you've given unto me. Thank you for listening, and may God bless. Amen.